This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Hospital Radio for Northumberland and North Tyneside.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Our first hymn today has this to say: to God be the glory. Great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin. There are echoes here of a well-known piece of scripture which says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. You may have seen this verse, John 3:17, advertised on placards at sporting events. So, here from the Big Sing at the Royal Albert Hall is the lovely hymn, To God Be the Glory. Let's listen to our Gospel reading from John 12, 20-28. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honour. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name.
The hour has come, said Jesus. It must not be denied. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it will remain but a single seed alone, to be precise. Ba-doop dap doop ba doop ba day, ba-doop dap doop ba day. If it falls and does die, it's true, for so I'm told, does what it is meant to do. It yields a hundredfold. Ba-doop-dup-doop-a-day, ba-doop-dup-doop-a-day. Ba-doop-dup-doop-a-day, ba-doop-dup-doop-a-day.
That last song was from my album Pearls of Great Price and called The Parable of the Grain of Wheat. In this scripture, Jesus uses this analogy of a grain of wheat dying to tell his disciples what lay ahead for him. He was about to suffer and die. Jesus had already told his disciples that anyone who followed him would also have to take up their cross. He had said to them, "If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also." Let me give you an example today. I want to tell you about a man called Oscar Romero, Archbishop of El Salvador, who was assassinated in 1980. When he was a bishop, he rubbed shoulders with the great and powerful in Latin America. He was acquainted with the president and all his military leaders. He was also well in with the big businessmen of his country. He was also talented, fairly well off and important in his own right. He loved the easy life, and he hated any involvement in trouble. He was in a position to put down any dissensions which rose from the common people because of the authority he held within the church. Once, when he visited one of the towns in his care to celebrate a Eucharist there, the people protested to him about the treatment they'd been receiving at the hands of the government. And with their Bibles in one hand and their newspapers in the other, they gave vent to their anger. Romero was clearly annoyed. He told them it was wrong to be so disrespectful to the church and those in authority. He advised them not to mix politics and religion. And when they challenged him again, waving their Bibles at him angrily, he replied, "I am right because I am a bishop." The Eucharist was suspended because he felt it was impossible to continue due to their belligerent attitude. We'll hear more of his story in a moment. Here's a song containing a similar idea to the words, "I am right because I am a bishop." In it, a teacher exerts her authority to crush a child's creativity. It's a song by a man called Harry Chapin, and he wrote it having just listened to a comment written on his friend's son's school report, which read, "Your son marches to the beat of a different drummer, but don't worry, we'll have him joining the parade by the end of term." Here is his song, "Flowers Are Red," sung here by a dear friend of mine, Marie Little. She's so well known in folk circles in the Northeast, and I love her version of this.
First day at school, took out his crayons and he started to draw. He put colours all over his paper, 'cause colours is what he saw. And the teacher said, "What are you doing, young man?" "I'm painting flowers," he said. "This is not the time for art, young man. And anyway, flowers are green and red. There's a time for everything, young man, and a way things should be done. You've got to show concern for everyone else, 'cause you're not the only one." And she said, "Flowers are red, young man, green leaves are green, and it's no need to see flowers any other way than the way they always have been seen. But the little boy, naughty boy, and there's a way that things should be, and you paint flowers the way they are, so repeat this after me." And she said, "Flowers are red, young man, green leaves are green, and it's no need to see flowers any other way than the way they always have been seen. But the little boy said, teacher put him in a corner, and she said it's for your own good. And you can come out when you get it right, and you're responding like you should. And so finally he got lonely, frightened thoughts they filled his head. And so he went to the teacher, and this is what he said. Flowers are red, green leaves are green, and there's no need to see flowers any other way than the way they always have been seen. Time went by like it always does, and he moved to another town. The boy went to another school, and this is what he found. He found the teacher there was smiling. She said painting should be fun, and there's so many colors in the flowers, so let's paint everyone. But the little boy, he painted flowers in straight rows of green and red. When the teacher asked him why, this is what he said. Flowers are red, green leaves are green, and there's no need to see flowers any other way than the way they always have been seen.
Time comes to us all to stand our ground in life on certain issues, and we have to decide what is right and what is wrong. Do we go with the flow, like dead fish floating in a river? Or do we swim against the tide? Do we obey instructions regardless of content? Or do we take time to consider carefully the best way forward for everyone concerned? St. Peter once tackled this very question when told not to preach any more in Jesus' name. He replied, "We must obey God rather than man." Our next hymn is a real golden oldie. It asks, "Whom should we serve? Are we on the Lord's side or are we on the world's side?" It seems that Oscar Romero at this point in his life was not entirely on the Lord's side. It's sung by St. Michael Singers.
Who is on the Lord's side? Who for you?
Later, as Archbishop, Romero went back to the same town, to the same people, and apologized. Certain events had changed him. Within weeks of his induction, he actually witnessed security forces spreading death and destruction when the common people objected to fraudulent elections. He began listening to the complaints of the poor. He heard their grief and had his eyes open to what was happening firsthand, and he could no longer keep silent. So he began to speak out against injustice and brutality. And he preached to the people, "We haven't got power. We haven't got anything. But we have got something greater. We have the truth." Then his closest friend, Rutilio Grande, a fellow priest, was murdered for protesting. Oscar Romero was no longer an isolated grain of wheat. He became fearless in his preaching. Crowds flocked to the cathedral to hear him and applauded and cheered him for his talks. He was specific in his condemnation of the government. He named each of their victims in each town. He called to account the perpetrators of violence. And yet he was criticized by some of his brother bishops in the church for causing trouble, and they reported him to the Pope. But he really couldn't keep silent. He became the people's champion. Here's a song called "Here I Am, Lord," sung by John Michael Talbot.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin. My hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will
Oscar Romero believed that God's word had to be a word that touched today's wounds, today's injustices, and today's victims. It could not be segregated from reality. He believed that the Bible was not just another pious book, but a book which opened eyes and condemned evil. He believed that God's word should speak out against structures that oppressed, imprisoned, and violated the rights of God's people. One day, he spoke to government soldiers, encouraging them to resist murdering their own country folk. And soon after that sermon, as Romero was celebrating the Eucharist, he was shot through the heart by a death squad, right in front of his own congregation, and he immediately fell to the floor beneath the crucifix. No one could identify the assassins.
Now the green blade rises from the love has come again, like wheat that springeth green. see. Love has come again, like wheat that springeth green. Forth he came in quiet, like the risen grain. He that for 3 days in the grave had lain. Quick from the dead, the risen Christ is seen. Love has come again, like we.
That was Now the Green Blade Riseth, sung there by the Smoke Fairies. I think as I read all this today about Archbishop Romero, of many such famous godly people who have walked a similar path, choosing to speak out and take action in dangerous and distressing circumstances, some even laying down their own lives for the sake of others, the likes of Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Maximilian Kolbe, Mahatma Gandhi, Emmeline Pankhurst, Irina Sandler, Mother Teresa, to name but a few. So many more people have also paid the ultimate sacrifice. They could have lived quieter, more comfortable lives, but they could not turn their eyes away from injustice, oppression, and neglect. They died to their own needs and comforts, and they served others. I wonder whether they echoed in their hearts words similar to those Jesus spoke in our reading today. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? In other words, do I want to save my life, or do I want to lose it? And yet not one of them would say that they had led exemplary lives. Only Jesus has ever been described as the perfect lamb for the sacrifice, for he was without sin. John called him the Lamb of God. Isaiah spoke of the one who would be led like a lamb to the slaughter. Jesus, by his own free will, became the one perfect sacrifice which made all other sacrifices unnecessary. But how does this apply to us all today, and not just the church? Where do we stand? Do we ever confront and denounce structures which oppress, imprison, and violate? Do we care about the real issues of our day? Or do we say, let's not get involved, let's not rock the boat, let's drink, eat, be merry, for tomorrow we die? Many think this way today. Who out there will pray, your will be done, Lord, not mine? Who will ask, what can I do that no one else can do? You know, we all have our own unique circle of acquaintances, for a start, our families and our friends, that no one else in the world has. Why don't we begin there? Do we really care about their needs? Will we hold a light for them in their fear? Will we hold our hands out to them and speak words they need to hear? Our final song contains questions such as these. It's the Servant's Song, and it's sung here by Benedictine Brothers from the monastery at Big Sur, California, Cyprian Consiglio and James Mackell. So, behold, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified in us, as it said in that reading. Will we start from today? It's time to say goodbye now from me, Sheila Hamill, and Andrew Ridgewick, my technician.
Bye for now.
God bless us, everyone. Bye for now.
Will you let me be your servant? Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. We are pilgrims on a journey. We are travelers on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. will hold a Christ light for you in the night time of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, speak the peace you long to hear. I will weep when you are weeping, when you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow till we've seen this journey through. When we sing to God in heaven, we shall find such harmony. Born of all we've known together, of Christ's love and agony. Will you let me be your servant? Let me be as Christ through you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be.